the presence.
Turns down an easy shot on dunk attempt and fades away from the rim. It's the presence of Giannis.
Antetokounmpo off the glass.
Denial from Crowder. Adelaide looking. Inside of Antetokounmpo. Puts up the one-hander. Shot is good. Does it again.
Now back to Kenny and JT, powered by Paramount Elite ICS.
Mike Breen on the call last night, ABC, as Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks are your 2021 NBA champions. They win it in six games, the last four straight. Giannis, MVP, 50 points, 14 rebounds, five blocks in one of the greatest performances in NBA Finals history. And to talk about that, the latest on Colin Sexton and the trade rumors and the NBA draft with the Cavaliers, let's go to the Wake 'em Way hotline, bring in the outstanding NBA writer at HoopsWire.com, Cavs beat guy at Amico Hoops. He is Sam Amico. Sam, how are you today?
I'm doing well.
Give me your thoughts on what you saw last night watching Giannis and the Bucks close out the Phoenix Suns.
Oh, I thought Giannis Antetokounmpo, big deal. The Cavs got Anthony Bennett in that draft. In all seriousness, I kind of thought, I thought it was great for the NBA. I thought it was great for mid-market teams such as Milwaukee and Indiana and Memphis and Cleveland, that a team that was truly kind of built through the draft and getting Giannis Antetokounmpo, and then putting some pieces around him that aren't huge names. Chris Middleton, a fine player. Drew Holiday, a fine player. Brooke Lopez, a fine player. These aren't household names, though. And we heard Giannis after the game say, I did it the hard way. You know, this is the hard way, and you catch some breaks along the way and make the most of them. And, I think that was a beautiful thing for teams in the NBA that are in situations like Milwaukee, Cleveland, again, Indiana, some of these other places that aren't free agent destinations that were built the right way. They got a little lucky in getting Giannis at, what, number 15? So I think it was great to see. And it was great to see for Phoenix, too, because, you know, you look at a team that hadn't been to the playoffs in a decade get to the finals by adding just one, you know, veteran who was okay with being there, and Chris Paul. And I just thought, I liked the way that went. It wasn't an AAU style, let's team up together, get all the stars on one team. And it was more, you know, I think it's a kind of plan that can give anybody hope. In the NBA.
Easy to say that when we don't have a superstar on our squad any longer. And you know what, Sam, you make an interesting point. I've been thinking about this a lot this year, too. How much luck plays into this? Because when you look at the Milwaukee Bucks, and we, you know, at times they're down two games in a couple of different series, and you're counting them out, and yet they come back, and we see what happens last night. Could this be the start of a dynasty? Because I'm not so sure they're the best team in the East. Would you agree with that?
Well, no, you know, I mean, obviously they are this year, but you look at Philadelphia, obviously have their issues, but is right there finishing with the top seed. You look at a team like Atlanta that had a nice young team and got invaluable playoff experience, and some of these other squads too. Obviously, you know, the Nets are right there if they can stay healthy and stay mesh. You know, I mean, that's a big question. People are acting all surprised that Kyrie was hurt. That,
yeah.
You know, it's like, this is typical. So will he ever be healthy when it means the most? Can he last the season? That's a huge question mark. You know, so it's a matter of putting it all together at the right time. And we're going to go through a phase here in the NBA that if you remember when Michael Jordan left, it was wide open for a while there. When Michael Jordan retired, and LeBron is at the end of his road, you know, I mean, he's still a very good individual player, but he's not the guy he once was. He's just not going to be at 37. Nobody is, you know, and we may be open or getting to a point in the NBA where this thing is wide open, and instead of having, you know, everybody says at the beginning of the year, well, only three or four teams have a chance to win it. We may be up to 10 teams, and this is that, you know,
okay.
This is exemplifying that.
Sam Amico is our guest here on the Kenny and JT Show via the Wake 'Em Way Hotline. Sam, the reason I wanted to get you on, I read your article about Colin Sexton and the Cavaliers taking phone calls, possibly, and listening to deals. What's the latest on where things stand with the Cavs, Sexton, and a possible trade?
Well, you know, they're exploring. They've made it known that he's available. They're taking calls. They're sounds like they're making some calls. And again, this is all about money. You know, you look, when Sexton got here, LeBron left. It was the same summer. And all of a sudden, you know, Colin Sexton becomes the face of the franchise. So, and this past year, he was the leading scorer. He plays hard. He's durable. I mean, he's missed 12 games in his whole three-year career all this past season. And you've made him your number one guy, right? Okay, so now it's time for his rookie scale contract extension. As the number one option on your team, he wants to be paid like the number one option on the team. Well, the Cavs don't probably look at him, obviously, as a guy who's a max level player, and they're hoping to maintain some flexibility. And in order to do that, they're still hoping to find their max level player. So when they do that, you're going to have a conversation that's a very difficult conversation to say, look, Colin, we know you got us to this point, but this guy, maybe we just drafted him, maybe we traded for him, whatever. He's our top option. He is what's going to take us to another level. You're going to have to be the number two option, maybe number three, you know. So they spent these past 3 years with Colin Sexton, past two with Darius Garland, kind of figuring out if this is going to work long term. And maybe they're at the point, it seems like they are, hey, you know, it's probably not going to behoove us to pay Colin Sexton a ton of money to get where we want to go, and therefore we're looking to move on. So there is definitely interest. Other teams, you know, have their concerns. They're a little bit hesitant in terms of, well, if he wants a max deal, we're not giving it to him because he may be our Jordan Clarkson. You know, and you don't pay Jordan right. Clarkson, as nice of a player as he is, you don't pay him a maximum contract. So there's some hesitancy on the other teams, but I suspect that next week for the draft, there's going to be, you know, some conversations that heat up a little bit about Sexton as well as, especially in free agency. If they don't move him on draft night, I suspect that things will, once other teams get the roster set, see what they still need, that if you don't have a Colin Sexton trade, you're going to come real close to it in August.
Sam Amico, our guest here on the Kenny and JT Show. All right, Sam, so we'll see if they deal Sexton before the draft, during the draft, after the draft. We'll wait on that. What about the draft itself? What are you hearing right now at number three? Which way are the Cavaliers leaning?
It sounds like if Mobley is there, that would be their guy. I think if, you know, if they had their druthers, it would probably be Jalen Green. But, you know, mm-hmm. We don't know. You know, after number one, it's a pretty big smokescreen. We don't know what the Rockets are going to do. All we know is that the Cavs are going to get to choose between Mobley. Either Mobley or Green will be there. Suggs will be there. I've heard Jonathan Kuminga from the G League at 6'8", can, you know, supposedly defend multiple positions. He really helped himself. The Cavs told me he really helped himself during his workout in Cleveland. So, you know, there's a possibility that he could go there. I think it's a big mystery. A lot of people I've talked to outside of the organization in the NBA have said the Cavs are pretty much the biggest mystery there at three. You know, if the Rockets, you know, the Rockets are going to go with either Mobley or Green. You don't know for sure that the Cavs are going to go Mobley if Green is gone, or Green if Mobley is gone. So I think it's going to be a big mystery where they're, what they're thinking and what their draft board looks like. And we live in a day and age, and I don't blame them, or you don't want to tip your hat and say this is probably the direction we're going to go if this guy's there, because, you know, you want to keep all your possibilities open, especially when you're trying to move your leading scorer. You know, you don't want to give away too much information. So it seems like they're open to all kinds of possibilities, which is a good thing.
What about the – hey, Sam, I don't mean to cut you off. What about the possibility of moving out of that pick? And if so, in your opinion, what would it take?
I don't think they're looking to move out.
Thank you.
I think if they're looking to move anything, it would be up. But that's kind of been thwarted. The Pistons are going to go with Cade Cunningham. I don't think the Cavs are going to have enough. They're not going to want to give up what the Pistons are looking for that number one pick. I think that the Cavs are going to stay at three. I don't think with a team as young as they are, they don't need to move down to draft two guys. They just don't need to. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've already had, what, 5, 6, 7 first-round picks over the last 3 years? You don't need any more than that. You're already stocked with young guys. You need one guy who's going to be a major difference maker. You don't need two more guys who are going to be nice players. You need to find a guy at three that's going to be your guy. You know, I don't think they're looking to do that. Hey, we don't want to pay two more rookies guaranteed deals to come in and be quote unquote just fits or role players, or, you know, and if you're moving down to 5 and 8, and you pass up a guy at 3 who, say, you trade to Orlando for 5 and 8, and that guy becomes a stud, and you get two guys who are good but not a stud, you're gonna, you know, that's not gonna help you at all. So they realize that, and they have no intention of moving out of that unless somebody really blows them away.
All right, Sam, in 20 seconds or less, who does Sam Amico want for the Cavaliers at number 3 if he's there?
I really want Green. I think he's got a huge upside. He's a great athlete, great scoring ability. And if you're going to move Sexton, if you take Mobley and move Sexton, you better get a, you know, scoring guard back. So I think if you're looking to move Colin Sexton, which they are, you better take a guard. And along with that, I think Green's a superior player already. I think he will be in the long run as well.
I agree with you 100% on that, Sam Amico. We always appreciate the time, the insight, the information. Keep up the great work there. Everybody can follow him at Amico Hoops on Twitter and also at hoopswire.com. Sam, we'll talk to you after the draft and break it down. Thanks so much for joining us.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me. We'll talk to you soon.
We'll get sounds great. There he is, Sam Amico, checking in via the Wake 'em Way hotline here on the Kenny and JT Show. Back with more right after this.